love Sundays.
I love Sundays.
You may not understand it now.
You may not fully understand it now, but Sundays can actually make an eternal difference in your life.
But Sundays can make an eternal difference in your life and others.
Sundays are when I feel like I'm part of God's family.
Sundays are the best.
Sundays are when I really feel I'm a part of God's family. When I go to church, I know I am where I belong.
I look forward to Sunday all week.
I love Sundays because of the church I belong to. Every week, I see God at work changing people's lives, and I love getting to be a part of that.
I love Sundays because it was at church on a Sunday 10 years ago when I realized how much Christ loves me, and I became a follower of Christ.
I love that I get to be a part of that.
Over the last 3 weeks, with our sermon series called I Love Sundays, we have been looking at how we can make Sundays the best day of our week. On the first Sunday in this series, simply the sentence of truth was this: I love Jesus, so I love Sundays, the day of resurrection. Then 2 weeks ago, with the sermon titled, Sundays Can Change Your Whole Week, we were reminded that Sabbath, a time for rest, a time for renewal, is a part of God's rhythm of God's creations. Last Sunday, when inclement weather kept many of us be stuck in the house and prevented us from coming to church, the service was small but sweet, as always, I can say, with the sounds of joyous laughter because of a free candy and a fun video and a good message, right? The good message was all about how we can use Sundays to make us a better parent and caregiver and to build a better family. And we realized that within church, each family of parents and children is honored and can be more strengthened here. I truly wanted to do this sermon series first and foremost, because I do believe that observing Sundays in worship and fellowship with the church family makes real differences in our lives. In this series, I have been sharing what sociology studies have found about the benefits of being part of a church on Sunday morning. But more than scientific proofs, what I know for sure is that when I look into my own life, look back over the path that I walked, without church, I wouldn't be here. I'm not sure what kind of life I would have been living if in my life Sundays had nothing to do with the church. Yes, God made Sundays to be the best day of our week. And I have seen and experienced that, as one said, one of the great things about church is that people walk in a mess and walk out at peace. So this week, as I was preparing for this worship service, I felt my heart longed for being with you in worship. Yes, I had a deep desire for worship, doing SPSP, sing praises to the Lord, say prayers to the Lord, and sitting in the presence of God. At one moment this week, I found myself singing this hymn. As you know this probably, if we put up the lyrics on the screen, that might be helpful. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills the breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. Then I imagined as if Jesus would sing back to me in these words, as I put it. Beloved, the very thought of you With sweetness fills my heart, but sweeter far your face to see. In my Father's house, Jesus would sing it to us in these words. I truly believe that God is pleased each one of us being in worship. When God saw you, it was love at first sight. So I pray that you may feel that God pours out God's love upon you this morning while you are in God's presence in this room. As one church sign says on Valentine's Day weekend, hear God's gentle voice. May I be your Valentine? You are already mine. Okay. Did I ever start this week's sermon yet? having already proclaimed God's Valentine's message, what should I say more? What should I say more? Let's deal with our scripture passage. The scripture reading for today centered around the famous verse, John 3:16. And if you attended church when you were young, then probably your Sunday school teacher taught you to memorize it. And I remember my Sunday school teacher taught me a song that helped me to memorize it by singing it. So, in one way or another, many of us have learned to recite it by heart. But let's read the verse together as you see it on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In fact, many Christians understand it to be more than a single verse to recite by heart. They believe that the essential truth of Christian faith is all summarized in this single verse. So, it's not surprising that this morning, with the given sermon title, Sundays Can Change Your Eternity, this single verse deserves one sermon. Let's study on it. First of all, we needed to know its context. What is going on in and around this single verse? It should not be read as an isolated verse apart from its immediate context. Remember that John 3:16 is a part of a multi-layered and like dream-like a conversation that one of the leaders of the Jews had with Jesus. The leader's name was Nicodemus. And gospel writer is very precise here about how this dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus took place. It says, he, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night. He had questions that were burning in his heart, yet hard to answer on his own. Yet Nicodemus recognized Jesus as a teacher from God, and he acknowledged that Jesus was sent from God, but he came in secret at night so that his friends and neighbors could not see him. To him, his faith in Jesus was something that he would like to hide. But the way that he engaged very actively in the conversation with Jesus through his honest question, like, how could a grown man be born again? He helps us understand better what it means to be born again and what it means to believe in Jesus and why Jesus, the Son of God, was sent to the world. Then now, let's look at the message of John 3:16. It starts with God's love for what God created. God so loved the world. It is the world that God created and gave life to in love. And it is a world of unbelievable beauty, right? But also it is a world of devastating man-made destruction and war. It is a world of abundance, but it is also a world in which children's bellies swell with hunger, while leftover food is thrown out and overflows landfills. It is a world that was created for people to live in harmony and peace with one another. But it is a world where people live in a state of a perpetual fear because of violence, oppression, exploitation, hatred, and all kinds of injustice that man made by having sinned against God, sinned against himself, sinned against each other and other creations of God. So it is the world we see every day on TV and on social media. It is the world where we encounter in our homes and community, and it is the world that we know exists inside us. And it is the world that rejected Jesus. But God so loved the world, and God still loves this world. It is the world we live, and it is the world for which God's love is still proclaimed and manifested profoundly in and through the body of Jesus Christ, which we know is a church family. John 3:16 continues to read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, to show us the nature of God's love, God gave his one and only Son. In John's Gospel, the giving of the Son refers to the incarnation. God came here to become one of us, to be part of us, to live among us, and to take on human flesh in Jesus of Nazareth. The message is this: God does not leave us alone or abandoned out in the darkness, but God enters into it. God sits and walks with us. God comforts us in sympathy and solidarity with us. And God understands our sorrow and frustration and despair and fear. And God fights for it. I once read an illustration. A guy who was walking down the street fell into a hole that he didn't see. The hole is deep and the walls are steep. Then he was calling out for help. Then a psychiatrist hears a voice asking for help. Then the doctor stops and writes a prescription for anxiety and depressive disorder medication and throws it into the hole. Then next, a priest comes by and the guy calls out, "Hey, Father, can you help me out here?" The priest stops and writes out a prayer and tosses it down to the hole. Prayer. Then the guy's best friend comes by and sees his friends down in the hole. Then the friend immediately jumps in to the hole. "Why did you do that? Now we are both stuck," the guy says. "No," the friend says, "I've been here down before, and I know the way out. I know the way out." In this world of darkness, there are so many dark and deep pits where we feel we have fallen and been stuck. Hell is not just about afterlife. In the course of our lives on earth, we experience many hellish moments where we feel we are distressed, fallen, and lost. Christ comes to us at those moments. He has been down in such darkness, and he knows the way out. The good news of John 3:16 reiterates in the very following verse, where Jesus says, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Here, with the second half of John 3:16, comes our part, what we have to do. As we read here, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But if you are like me, before we take the believer part, a question arises. what is eternal life? Right? What is eternal life? So far you have been half asleep during this sermon. So now wake up. This part is what I want you to hear. But maybe to draw your attention back to me, I may give you one funny story to kind of celebrate, to make a connection between Valentine's Day and this message. After she woke up, a woman told her husband about her dream, and she said, "I just dreamed that you gave me a diamond necklace on Valentine's Day." And the husband says, no, the wife continues to say, "What do you think it means?" Pretty much what she says is, "Did you get what I mean by that, right? The dream of the diamond necklace." But then the husband says, "You will know tonight." And then that evening, the husband came with a box, small package, and gave it to his wife. And delighted, she opened it to find not a diamond necklace, but a book titled "The Meaning of Dreams." Okay, so now let's find out the meaning of eternal life that Jesus says here in John 3:16. Eternal life is not just life that goes on and on even after death. Like what? Endless shuffleboard which seems to exist only in our imagination. And let's face it, if your life is a mixed bag here on earth, why would you want infinity years of it? Eternal life must mean much more than that, as God defines it. It must mean breadth of life as well as a length of life. Am I saying here endless explosion of life in all different directions? No. Rather, it is all about fullness of life. One of the theological quotes attributed to St. Irenaeus, a second century theologian and bishop of Lyon, is this: "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." That is to say, God wants us to live our life fully, as God intends it for us and graciously blessed for us. When God is glorified, is when we live our life fully as God intends for us. But here, be careful. A life that lives fully is not necessarily an ever happy and healthy life. Here, the Greek word for life is actually two. First, zoe. As you can guess, word zoo originates from this Greek word for life. And it is different from another word for life, bios, which has a connection with biology, right? Then in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus explained the parable of the sower who sowed the seed, which meant the word of God, where Jesus says, "They are choked by the anxieties and monies and pleasures of life." There, Jesus says, bios. And you see, then bios refers to the life of the physical body, experience all kinds of different mixture of sorrow and, yes, joy and pleasure, and the struggle with health while you live in a limit of time and place. But here in John's gospel, the gift of life that Jesus gives us is joy, a life that belongs to God, uniquely possessed by God. So this life is eternal, divine, and God's pure gift. We human beings cannot fully comprehend how good it is, but we know that it is good because it belongs to God and it comes from God. And our knowledge of this life is good enough for us to crave for it, and thus put our trust in the goodness of the giver of life. Yes, we are invited to choose this gift, though it seems not to be fully unveiled. Perhaps that's why we are told to believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the giver of this life. And the verse goes on, whoever believes in him shall not perish. You probably still think that here we are talking about hell and heaven. Yes, if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah and you shall not go to hell when you die, but rather you will go to heaven, that might be the way that you read this part of John 3:16. Of course, this frame of hell and heaven is very popular, but what it speaks most clearly to me is that to us, sin is such a pain in the neck. That is to say, we feel somewhere inside that we are unworthy of such an amazingly good and heavenly gift of joy, life. That is to say, we know very well about of ourselves. When it comes to asking ourselves, which one is more natural to us, following God's will and righteousness or following our will and arrogance, it is to follow the desires and thoughts of our flesh. In John's Gospel, in many other places in the Bible, the analogy of darkness and light is used. And Jesus says that we are a light of the world, and the Apostle Paul says in the 1 Thessalonians that we are the children of light. Yes, we do not belong to the darkness or night. However, what we find about ourselves in our lives, in our bios, is that we sometimes walk in the light, and at other times we walk in the darkness. And most of the time we feel like we are in between, in gray. And especially when we reject the light, we know that we are inclined to the darkness, because the light reveals the darkness that we have in us, the darkness that we wanted to hide. Because of this human reality, true good news is the salvation, joy, life is not a goal for the afterlife, but a reality that Jesus gives to us so that we can live it here and now on Sundays for sure and every day by God's grace. When we gather in the name of Jesus, when we share with friends and family what are upon our heart and minds and bring it in prayer before God, when we in this community of faith exchange smiles with each other, hug each other, and remind each other of who we are and whose we are, salvation, divine, eternal life is ours. You might say that such a good feeling, happiness, and joy can be produced anywhere, but the life joy is a different because it is made possible because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who conquered the power of death. Because of what Jesus has done, and for us, we can live a life not disturbed anymore, but free from all fears and bondage, and free to become fully human as God created us to be. My beloved Lodi family and friends, God invites you and me to believe that this gift is ours and to receive it. To some of you, it might be something hard to do. There might have been a hindrance and resistance in you when it comes to believing and accepting God's love for you because of the very reason that only you and God know. Whatever it is, please know that it is bigger. No. It is not bigger than God's love. Whatever sins or whatever darkness that you struggle with, please know it is not more powerful than God's love. So today, choose Jesus. Choose His church. Don't miss out on salvation. Give yourself into God's grace. Walk in the light into a new future, forgiven and free. Live in the joy of eternal life here and now. I hope and pray that you can feel the joy of eternal life today and every Sunday. You can taste heaven here in the house of the Lord on Sundays, and in the presence of God, live each day to the fullness and wholeness of life. Give Jesus your heart, your dream, your plan, and all you have claimed as your own so far. Then live a life that is fulfilling and free in Jesus. Because today Jesus says to us, may I be your Valentine, because you are already mine. Thanks be to God. Amen.